the Public News Service Daily Newscast, October the 6th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. President Trump left Walter Reed Medical Center and returned to the White House Monday evening. The New York Post reports, despite almost daily disclosures of new coronavirus infections among Trump's close associates, the White House is making little effort to investigate the scope and source of its outbreak. According to the Post, the White House decided not to trace contacts of guests and staff members at the Rose Garden celebration 10 days ago for Judge Amy Coney Barrett, where at least 8 people, including the president, may have become infected. The Post notes the White House has cut the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which has the government's most extensive knowledge and resources, out of the process. It has now been a month since the CDC drafted an eviction moratorium under orders from President Trump, but our Mike Moen reports a North Dakota assistance group says there are cases where landlords still might try to evict someone facing a hardship.
The moratorium is aimed at protecting renters from being forced from their home after similar measures expired, including one under the CARES Act. If they meet certain criteria, a person can't be evicted until the end of the year. But Adele Page of Legal Services of North Dakota says they've since seen cases where the tenant was facing qualified hardship, but minor violations were used as an excuse.
The person's applied for assistance, she meets all of the qualifications, and the landlord's trying to evict her for excessive dog feces in the yard and alleged damage to a post from a dog.
She says an inspection of the post didn't find any damage. Page attributes this to the guidelines being vague. She says they should state only serious violations should be considered in cases where there's still a hardship.
Mike says for those fighting eviction, one of the key documents needed is a declaration page where a renter can formally state there are legitimate reasons for falling behind and they're attempting to secure aid. That form can be found on the CDC website. New data is highlighting the need to strengthen programs that help prevent and respond to domestic violence.
An annual report from the Ohio Domestic Violence Network reveals that 109 Ohioans died as a result of domestic violence in the year ending June 30th. A 35% increase from the year before. During the first few months of the COVID-19 pandemic, domestic violence fatalities were 14% higher than during the same months of 2019. Joe Simonson with ODVN says this comes as a primary source of funding for domestic violence programs. The Federal Crime Victims Fund was cut by one-third statewide.
While the need is still there, and we're actually seeing sort of increases in severity in some of the cases that we've been hearing about most lately, the dollars have dropped off, and that's going to be significant for our programs.
Mary Sherman reporting.
This is PNS. As states grapple with financial shortfalls due to the coronavirus pandemic, a new study shows just how much Texas could benefit by expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act.
Study lead Laura Diggs says at current funding rates, Medicaid expansion in Texas could bring in $5.4 billion new federal dollars and provide health coverage to nearly 1 million Texans with little cost to the state. Diggs says the unexpected health crisis illustrates why expanding Medicaid could help lower-income residents.
Medicaid is the kind of program that can make a big difference in a pandemic, especially as going forward, where hopefully we'll develop better treatments and thinking about how people are going to pay for those things.
Without health insurance, people typically forego preventive care and head to an emergency room when they're sick, creating a financial burden for the state and taxpayers. Research for the study was compiled by the Bush School of Government and Public Service and sponsored by the Episcopal Health Foundation. For Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown.
Last year, a federal judge in Texas invalidated the Affordable Care Act, although the law remains in effect awaiting a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Advocates for more civil discourse building support for a different system of elections called approval voting, and they say it could boost the fight against climate change.
In approval voting, people are asked to mark all the candidates they approve of rather than just picking one. The one with the most approval votes wins. Christine Morchetti is a volunteer with the Center for Election Science. She says the winner is then the consensus choice rather than the most extreme.
In approval voting, you would end up with the choice that most people would accept as opposed to a more radical that a small minority really, really wants, which is what can happen right now.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
And finally, our Laura Brassbrow Tellum tells us if you're feeling lazy about leaves piling up in your property, experts say, well, you shouldn't.
Leaving those leaves can help the environment as well as wildlife, according to many conservation groups. David Mezajewski is a naturalist with the National Wildlife Federation. He says letting some leaves stay on the ground is cost-effective, since they become a natural fertilizer. But also, leaves and trash are a big problem.
Leaves, according to the EPA, make up about 13% of the solid waste that ends up in our landfill. That organic waste, which is what leaves are, it's organic material, as that breaks down inside the landfill, it actually releases methane.
Mezajewski adds that methane is a particularly potent greenhouse gas contributing to climate change. He thinks the American habit of raking and leaf blowing is tied to the start of suburbia and lawns. Instead, Mezajewski recommends cultivating gardens with more natural plants and leaf litter and less lawn space. This also helps wildlife.
If you'd like more info, go online to nwf.org and type in the word leaves. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported on great radio stations across the nation and online at publicnewsservice.org.